Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Some people would think of Bardagulan as a humorous exchange. You know, just exchanging memes and jokes, just as a way to express yourself politically. And some people will think about Bardagulan as a form of political debate, wherein you try to prove the other side wrong and you try to defend your own position. And some other people just say Bardagulan is fun, period.
Sa likod ng mga memes, trending viral posts at online activism. Paano nga ba tinitingnan ng makabagong henerasyon na Gen Z at Gen Alpha ang politika at mga isyong panlipunan sa Pilipinas, Australia at buong mundo? At anong klaseng pagbabago ang gusto nilang makita? Nakausap natin si Ash Presto na bahagi ng Gen Z at isang sociologist sa Australian National University.
So when it comes to yung current situation natin in the Philippines, sabi mo sa akin na yung specialization mo rin is yung Gen Z using social media to be politically involved.
So they see social media as their first point of entry to the world of politics. And it's also a first point of it's also the first source of information regarding political affairs that they have. And I mean first here in a literal and also a figurative sense. So literal as in their phones are the first things that they reach out to when they wake up in the morning. They know that they've woken up when they're already engaging in the comment section of a certain social media platform, for example. And it's also, so that's a literal first point of contact to political information. The figurative first point of contact to political information is that through social media, they find like-minded individuals who speak their language, the same language that they do. And I don't mean language in the literal sense. I mean language in a rhetorical sense. They have what they call Bardagulan. So it's a humorous exchange of political opinions. So that's what I mean when I say language.
Can you explain further itong Bardagulan? Because I've heard this term as well before.
Some people would think of Bardagulan as a humorous exchange. So, you know, just exchanging memes and jokes just as a way to express yourself politically. And some people will think about Bardagulan as a form of political debate, wherein you try to prove the other side wrong and you try to defend your own position. And some other people just say Bardagulan is fun, period. There isn't a political end to it. The process of Bardagulan is the political end in itself. And in fact, when the person that they engage with through Bardagulan ends up unfriending them or blocking them, they really feel very sayang. Because they think na, oh, I don't have anybody to annoy anymore. So it's not as if they feel bad because they wouldn't be able to engage with another person in a political capacity, but they really feel bad because then they wouldn't have somebody to annoy or send memes to. Or in Tagalog, wala na silang paparinggan.
I see. So parang yung Bardagulan, it's actually a fun activity.
Yep. In fact, one of my participants said, the more nakakainis, the better. So the more annoying your response is, the better. Because then it also elicits more response from the other side.
That's true. Siguro kasi talagang, I mean, in social media, that's really how you interact with people. Eh? You share memes, you debate.
Yep.
Because I'm a millennial. So I'm older than you. So merong misconception, I guess, for older generations na, or is it a misconception, or are we just not quite understanding Gen Z? Na yung thinking kasi about Gen Z is a little bit more steady lang, parang they're a little bit more apathetic. Kasi being politically engaged is not being apathetic.
So on the one hand, you have young people who are overtly politically engaged. So those who are publicly engaged, very vocal, using their own faces, using their own names, and very open as to their own family members, where they're coming from, etc. And you also have on the other end of the spectrum, young people who are, and I call that feigned apathy. So people who just say that, oh, I'm not going to vote for anybody. I have not yet decided on a political candidate, or maybe I'm not even going to vote. But I call that feigned apathy, basically because when you talk to them, you see that they also have their own political convictions, that they talk about with their closest circles and then family members, but they don't feel comfortable to divulge. Basically, because in this day and age, when people get to know of your political position, you might expose yourself to ridicule or scrutiny. There's this one person I was talking to, and her father was a state official, and also her father told her that please do not participate more so publicly in any of the political affairs during the elections, and we're talking about the 2022 elections. So she said, I'm not even interested anyway. So that's feigned apathy for you. But secretly, she has been donating all of her school money, to different political campaigns. And so that's being overt, that's being very active for you. And in fact, she also has all of these different social media accounts where she doesn't use her real name. She uses, a cartoon character, and she engages with different people online. She's very active, and now we're thinking also about creative strategies now. So in that one example, natawid mo na the entire spectrum.
There's this thinking na what's going on right now, could it be cyclical na naman? Na parang we get angry, we protest, and then we forget. Because of the participation in social media, is there hope for that changing?
There's always hope. But people have complex emotions, and if while it's true that I feel hope, I also feel a certain kind of I feel scared, so to speak, for the future of the Philippines. But I think one of the confusions also surrounding this issue is that Gen Z is not the youngest generation who is politically involved anymore. So you also have Gen Alpha, and Gen Alpha now can pretty much just type and engage with people online. And you don't know, I mean, this anonymous person on the internet may just be a Gen Alpha kid, who cannot vote yet, but who's also now very much engaged in politics. And my generation, Gen Z, I mean, many of my generation are already elected officials now. We have Congress people who are part of Gen Z, right? I mean, the first years of Gen Z are now aged 28. So adults. And the sense of having a very cyclical political climate might just as well be that people who we imagine as young are now themselves exercising the very things that many in their generation are fighting against.
Do you think the fight is different now? Is the nature of the fight different because the younger generation are online?
So before, I mean, you had dial up, you had the radio, you had, of course, traditional media. And traditional media back then provided information in sort of like a one-way interaction, which is where they just broadcasted the information to people. But now the information, it's not just two-way. It can also be very relational. It can also be very polarizing. So people can now more easily gravitate towards the information source that they feel like they resonate the most with. So whether or not that's a Facebook page or a Twitter account, or that's part of the mainstream legacy media. So now people have that kind of choice, and they tend to gravitate towards that information provider that they think resonates well with their thinking. In terms of their references, they can be very diverse. Some young people can draw from anime, some people can draw from K-pop, some people can draw from P-pop, some people can draw from this obscure subreddit where they just spend most of their leisure time in. So I think that's what's complicated right now. But just to add very quickly, Nikki, because there's also a point of interest for observers of Southeast Asian youth politics. They're using that symbol from One Piece. And I've heard from yet and I've heard that young people in Southeast Asia are using that symbol basically because that crew, that specific crew using that symbol in the anime, is composed of young people who had a very rebellious character towards the government, and they sort of like resonate well with that.
You know how the government and other people and us ourselves, we keep on saying, oh, we're so resilient, we're so good, kaya namin tiisin kahit ano. But do you think there comes a point that resiliency isn't even a good thing anymore?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Filipino culture is that obviously, we're very collective. So there's a huge push to help your neighbor, for example. So, this sense of collective resilience, bayanihan, is not necessarily a bad thing. What makes it dangerous is that some people just use it as a crutch just to get away from accountability. So parang when a certain area gets flooded, ah, okay lang yan, bayanihan. The Filipino spirit is resilient, kaya natin to, without, of course, realizing that Filipino people have spent billions of tax money just for ghost flood control projects to be funded. But this idea of resiliency also comes from a long-standing culture of informality in Filipino political life. So when I talk about informality, it's the idea that several bureaucratic processes are very hard to rely on. So an example would be, kapag may kailangan ka, for example, ang instinct mo ay lumapit sa kapitbahay mo or lumapit kay mayor, hindi para magpetisyon ng mas mataas na suporta for healthcare or educational access in your area. And I have to make myself clear here. So I'm not saying that Filipinos are naturally informal in terms of their engagement with politics. I'm just saying that the structure, like the political system, makes it difficult for them to go through the process because the process has been so unfair, especially for Filipinos in more marginalized spaces.
What is your resiliency level, I guess, of your generation?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, Nikki, because I also think that it's actually a spectrum. So, yeah, I think it's a spectrum based on my conversations also with fellow young people. So, on one hand, you have people thinking that, whoever wins in elections, whoever takes political power, whatever happens in your life is up to you alone. Diba? So sabi nga nila, kahit sino nakaupo dyan, kung tamad ka, hindi talaga uunlad ang buhay mo. So that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum will say that no matter how resilient, no matter how hardworking you are, if the government is rotten, then nothing will happen in your life. So lahat naman dun sa kabilang side, parang nasa gobyerno, nakasalalay ang buhay ko. Tapos sa kabila naman, nasa sarili ko, nakasalalay ang buhay ko. And then you meron mga in the middle. So okay, you have to work hard, but the government should be able to provide you with pathways to work hard. Or the government should be able to provide you with spaces to thrive and achieve your self-actualization. So, ganun din. So, there are different people, different young people who will say that we are 10 out of 10 resilient. And on the other hand, you also have people who will say that maybe we are 1 out of 10 resilient and it's the fault of the government. Yeah, I just want to see the best version of the Philippines that I can ever see. My generation was born at a time when the Philippines was trying to democratize and was trying to fight for good governance. And so far, I can't remember a state of my life wherein politics was so polarizing as of this moment. And I want to see a better Philippines that I haven't seen yet.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.